Welcome back to CyberShield Weekly. I'm Alex, and joining me as always is Sarah, our cybersecurity analyst. It is Tuesday, August 17th, 2026, and this is Volume 1, Issue 47.
Hey everyone, really glad you're here this week because honestly, this is one of those episodes where I want every business owner listening to stay until the very end. There is a lot happening, and most of it is directly relevant to your organization, regardless of your size.
That's exactly right. Today, we are covering a VMware vulnerability that state-sponsored attackers are actively exploiting right now, a brand new threat to AI systems that could expose your company's most sensitive data, a Linux botnet that is quietly hijacking edge devices, routers, firewalls, cameras, and a terrifying Android exploit that requires zero interaction from the victim. Zero.
We have also got BitLocker PIN guidance from the Small Business Corner that every window shop should hear, a step-by-step tech tip you can act on before lunch, and Daniel Ramos from Intelligent Automation joins us at the CTO's desk with his signature brand of practical wisdom and just enough humor to keep you from spiraling.
Let's get into it. All right, top threats. And Sarah, I want to start with the one that I think carries the most immediate organizational risk this week, and that is the VMware vCenter exploitation by a suspected China-linked threat actor.
Yeah, so let's set the scene here. VMware vCenter is the management software that organizations use to control their virtual machines. Think of it as the master control room for your entire virtualized IT infrastructure. If you run VMware in your environment, vCenter is the thing that lets your IT team spin up servers, manage workloads, control access. It is foundational.
And if an attacker gets into it?
If an attacker gets into it, they essentially have the keys to every virtual server you run. Every one. And that is exactly what is happening this week. Researchers have attributed active exploitation of CVE-2026-59310, that's the specific vulnerability identifier, to a suspected China Nexus Advanced Persistent Threat Group. APT is the term we use for sophisticated, state-sponsored hacking teams that operate with long-term strategic goals rather than quick smash-and-grab attacks.
And the CVSS score on this one is 9.8 out of 10. For people who are not familiar with CVSS, that is the Common Vulnerability Scoring System, essentially a standardized rating of how dangerous a flaw is. 9.8 is about as bad as it gets.
It's a directory traversal vulnerability, which means an attacker can navigate outside of the directories they should be restricted to and access files and systems they should never be able to touch. No special permissions required, no authentication in some configurations. And they are using it to deploy Babook-derived ransomware. Babook is a ransomware family. Ransomware is malicious software that encrypts your files and demands payment to restore them. And Babook has been weaponized by multiple criminal and state-affiliated groups since its source code leaked a few years ago.
So what does this mean for a 50-person company running VMware?
It means your entire virtual server environment could be encrypted and held for ransom by a threat actor working on behalf of a foreign government, not a lone hacker in a basement, a coordinated team with resources. And the fix, the patch, exists. Broadcom has released it. The problem is organizations are not applying it fast enough.
The action item here is non-negotiable. Go to Broadcom's VMware Security Advisories page today, not this weekend, today. Look up CVE-2026-59310, confirm your vCenter version, and apply the patch. If you have an IT team or an MSP, a managed service provider, call them right now after this episode and ask them directly, are we patched?
And if patching immediately is not possible for operational reasons, isolate your vCenter management interface from external network access immediately as an interim measure. Do not leave it exposed while you coordinate the patch window.
Perfect. Next threat. And this one is newer territory for a lot of businesses, MCP servers and enterprise data exposure.
So this one requires a little setup because MCP is still a relatively new concept for most organizations. MCP stands for Model Context Protocol. It is essentially the plumbing that allows AI agents, AI-powered tools and assistants, to connect to your company's data, your databases, your internal systems, your APIs. Think of it as the bridge between your AI assistant and your actual business information.
And the problem is?
The problem is that these MCP servers are often deployed by development teams or operations teams without full security review. They frequently store credentials, usernames and passwords, in plain text configuration files. Plain text means unencrypted, readable by anyone who can access the file. They often have overly broad permissions, meaning the AI agent can access far more data than it actually needs. And they're vulnerable to something called prompt injection, where an attacker crafts malicious input that tricks the AI into taking actions it should not take.
And the terrifying part is, these servers might be running in your environment right now, without your security team knowing about it.
Exactly. And that exposure can be silent.
there may be no alerts, no anomalies that jump out. The AI agent is just quietly doing its job and quietly giving a threat actor access to things it should never touch.
For a 50-person company, if you have recently adopted any AI tools, and many of you have because the business case is compelling, you need to ask your IT team or your vendor, does this tool use MCP? If yes, what data can it access, and how are those credentials stored?
The principle here is called least privilege. Your AI tools should only be able to access the specific data they need to do their specific job, nothing more. Audit those permissions, and make sure configuration files containing credentials are encrypted and access controlled, not sitting in a shared folder somewhere.
Let's move to Evu OneBot, which sounds almost harmless until you understand what it is doing.
Right. So Evu OneBot is a newly identified Linux botnet. A botnet is a network of compromised devices that an attacker controls remotely, often without the device owner having any idea. This one is derived from Mirai, which is one of the most notorious botnet families in history. Mirai famously took down large portions of the internet in 2016 by compromising routers and cameras and using them to flood websites with traffic.
And Evu OneBot has a different specialty.
It does. It is turning compromised edge devices, routers, firewalls, network-attached storage devices, cameras, into SOX 5 proxies. A SOX 5 proxy is essentially a relay point. Attackers use your device to route their malicious traffic through your network, making their attacks look like they are coming from you, your IP address, your connection.
So you become the unwitting accomplice.
Your hardware does, yes, and you may never know. The device keeps functioning. Users do not notice anything. But meanwhile, criminals are using your network infrastructure to conduct attacks, move laterally through other networks, or obscure their identity.
The exploit path here is known vulnerabilities, old, unpatched flaws in devices that manufacturers have released fixes for. The attackers are not using sophisticated zero days here. They are walking through doors that should have been locked months ago.
Which is actually the most frustrating part. For a 50-person company, the defensive steps are straightforward. Log in to your edge devices, your router, your firewall, and check when firmware was last updated. Update it. Disable any services or remote access features you are not actively using. Change default passwords if you have not already. These are unglamorous steps, but they close the door on an entire category of attack.
And then we have the Unisoc Android kernel exploit. Sarah, walk us through why this one is uniquely scary.
So researchers at SSD Secure Disclosure have published a two-stage exploit chain targeting Android devices that use Unisoc modem firmware. Unisoc is a chipset manufacturer whose processors appear in a significant number of budget and mid-range Android phones, many of which are popular in business environments because of their price point.
And the attack vector is a VoLTE video call.
A VoLTE video call. VoLTE stands for Voice over LTE. It is the technology that handles HD voice and video calls over 4G and 5G networks. An attacker can initiate a video call to your device, trigger this exploit chain, and gain full Android kernel access. Kernel access means the deepest level of control over the operating system. Everything. Camera, microphone, files, credentials, messages, everything.
And the device owner does not have to answer the call.
In the described exploit chain, the interaction requirements are minimal to none on the victim's end. That is what makes it so alarming. And as of August 17, 2026, today, there is no patch from Unisoc.
So what do businesses do right now?
First, identify whether any devices in your environment, company-issued or personal devices used for work under a BYOD policy, use Unisoc chipsets. Common brands that have used Unisoc include certain Motorola models, Blackview, and a range of devices sold in emerging markets. Second, monitor for a patch and apply it immediately when released. Third, for high-risk individuals, executives, finance team members, people with access to sensitive systems, consider temporarily disabling VoLTE on affected devices through carrier settings while a fix is pending.
Government alerts is bring those in. Sarah, Wireshark released version 4.6.8 this past Sunday, and the advisory caught our attention.
Yes, Wireshark is a network analysis tool. It is software used by IT teams and security professionals to monitor and inspect network traffic. It is extremely widely deployed. Version 4.6.8 fixes 28 vulnerabilities and 25 bugs. That is a substantial release. If anyone in your organization uses Wireshark, and if you have an IT or security team, they likely do, make sure they are updated to 4.6.8 immediately.
The ISC SANS Stormcast advisories this week, Monday and Friday, have been tracking all of these same threat vectors we have discussed. The edge device compromises, the ongoing VMware exploitation.
The SANS Internet Storm Center, for those unfamiliar, is a global cooperative cyber threat monitoring organization that publishes daily threat briefings. We link to their advisories in our show notes every week.
And the underlying message from the federal advisory space this week is consistent with what we are seeing in the wild. Exposed services, unpatched systems, and legacy vulnerabilities are the primary attack surface. The sophistication gap between attackers and defenders right now is not about tools. It is about patch discipline.
Say that again.
The sophistication gap is not about tools. It is about patch discipline. Most of this week's successful attacks exploited known, patched vulnerabilities on systems that had simply not been updated.
Small Business Corner. And this week, I want to focus on something that is simple, affordable, and genuinely impactful for any Windows-based business: BitLocker pins.
Yes. So BitLocker is Microsoft's built-in full disk encryption tool. Encryption means your data is scrambled in a way that makes it unreadable without the right key. So if someone steals a laptop, they cannot read what is on the drive without unlocking it. BitLocker is included in Windows Pro and Enterprise editions at no additional cost, which makes it one of the most accessible security tools available to small businesses.
And most businesses that use BitLocker are using it in a mode that does not require a PIN.
Right. The default configuration often relies solely on the TPM, the Trusted Platform Module, a security chip built into most modern computers, to automatically unlock the drive at startup, no PIN required, which is convenient. But it also means that certain attack techniques can bypass that protection by manipulating the boot process or exploiting the communication channel between the TPM and the processor.
Adding a PIN closes that gap.
A pre-boot PIN means that even if someone has physical access to the device, they cannot access the data without that PIN. It is an additional layer that defeats entire categories of physical access attacks. For a company where employees travel, work from coffee shops, or carry laptops to client sites, this is a meaningful risk reduction for zero cost.
And the NCSC, the National Cybersecurity Center, updated its guidance to specifically recommend BitLocker pins as a mitigation against the class of vulnerabilities we know are out there in TPM implementations.
The guidance from NCSC also this week included an expansion of their secure connectivity principles, with a water sector example, which is relevant for any of our listeners in critical infrastructure or industrial environments. That guidance is now on ncsc.gov.uk and is worth a read if your organization touches operational technology, the systems that run physical processes like manufacturing, utilities, or facilities management.
Tech tip time. And this week, Sarah, walk our listeners through enabling a BitLocker PIN, step by step, as if you are talking to someone who has never done this before.
Absolutely. So before you do anything, confirm that BitLocker is already enabled on the drive. Open File Explorer. Right-click on your C drive, that's your main hard drive, and look for Manage BitLocker in the menu. If it says a lock icon and says BitLocker on, you are good to proceed.
And if it says BitLocker is off?
Then your first step is turning it on, which is a separate process, and we can cover that in a future tip. But today, let's assume it is on, and we are adding the PIN. Step one, open the Start menu, type CMD, right-click on Command Prompt and choose Run as Administrator. This opens a command line interface, basically a text-based way to give your computer instructions. Step 2. In that window, type the following exactly: manage-bde --protectors --add --c:\tpm and kin, and press Enter. The system will prompt you to enter and confirm your PIN.
What should a good PIN look like?
At least 6 to 8 digits. Avoid obvious patterns like 123456 or your birth year. Think of it like a short password, something memorable to you but not guessable by someone who knows basic facts about you. And document it somewhere secure. A business password manager is ideal, because if an employee forgets their PIN, IT will need to use a recovery key to regain access.
Step 3, confirm it worked.
Step 3. Restart the computer. Before Windows loads, you should now see a prompt asking for the BitLocker PIN. Enter it. If the system boots normally after that, you are done. PIN protection is active.
That is a 20-minute task that adds a meaningful layer of protection to every Windows laptop in your business. Do this week. Assign it to your IT person or your MSP today.
And if you have questions or run into issues, drop them in our listener community. We try to answer everyone.
CTO's Desk. This week, we have Daniel Ramos, CTO of Intelligent Automation. And Daniel had some thoughts this week that I think capture both the frustration and the urgency of this threat landscape perfectly.
I love Daniel's perspective because he is talking to a lot of the same business owners we talk to, people who are making real infrastructure decisions with real budget constraints.
And his first point this week is one that I want to dwell on. He describes VMware vCenter vulnerabilities as, quote, like that one relative who never leaves after Thanksgiving dinner. And I think what he is getting at is something really important about institutional behavior.
Right. And it is not just VMware. It is the pattern. Critical vulnerability announced, patch released, organizations wait, sometimes days, sometimes weeks, before applying it. And in that window, state-sponsored actors with full-time resources and structured intelligence operations are scanning the internet looking for unpatched instances.
The attackers are faster than the defenders, consistently.
And Daniel's advice is blunt. Patch vCenter before your next coffee. Not next maintenance window, before your next coffee. Because the risk calculation right now with a 9.8 CVSS score and confirmed active exploitation does not justify any delay.
His take on MCP servers is equally pointed. He describes it as your AI assistant accidentally handing the keys to the kingdom to someone in a ski mask, which is a vivid image, and it captures the core problem, which is that AI adoption is outpacing AI security.
And this is a real organizational challenge. The business teams want to move fast with AI tools because the productivity gains are real and the competitive pressure is real. The security teams are trying to catch up and understand the new attack surface. Those two forces are in tension right now at most companies.
Daniel's recommendation, and ours, is that least privilege has to be a design principle for AI deployment, not an afterthought. Every AI agent, every MCP server, every API connection should be scoped to the minimum data access required. Write it into your vendor contracts. Write it into your internal policies. Treat it like you would treat any other system access.
And his line about Evu OneBot is one of my favorites this week. He says, quote, "Your router should not have a side hustle." It sounds funny, but it is completely accurate. An edge device in your network that has been conscripted into a criminal botnet is not just a reputational and legal risk. It is an active security liability because that device now sits on your network and its traffic patterns are controlled by someone else.
The bigger strategic picture that Daniel is pointing to, and that we want to leave our listeners with, is that this week represents a full-spectrum threat environment. State actors, criminal groups, AI attack surfaces, physical device compromises, browser hijacking, Windows Zero Days. No single defensive measure addresses all of it.
But the disciplines that address most of it are the same ones we have been talking about for years. Patch management, least privilege, network segmentation, asset visibility. Knowing what is running in your environment and whether it's up to date.
Those fundamentals are not exciting, but they are what separates the organizations that are resilient from the organizations that end up in the headlines.
And that is worth repeating to your leadership team. Cyber resilience is not about buying the most sophisticated product. It is about executing the basics consistently, every week.
All right, let's wrap up with the three most important takeaways from this week.
Number one. Patch CVE-2026-59310 in VMware vCenter immediately. This is being actively exploited by a suspected state-sponsored actor to deploy ransomware. If you run VMware, this is your number one priority today.
Number two, audit your AI tools and MCP server deployments. If your organization uses AI agents connected to internal data, find out what data they can access. Ensure credentials are not stored in plain text and enforce least privilege access permissions. This threat is largely invisible until it is not.
Number three, enable BitLocker pins on Windows laptops. It's free, it takes 20 minutes, and it defeats entire categories of physical access attacks. Assign it this week.
Bonus action from Daniel Ramos. Update your edge device firmware and disable services you are not using. Your router should absolutely not have a side hustle.
If this episode was useful to you, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a review. It genuinely helps other business owners find us. And share this episode with a colleague who needs to hear it.
We are back every Tuesday with the intelligence you need to make better decisions about your business's security. Stay alert, stay patched, and we will see you next Tuesday.
Stay safe, everyone.